Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomé River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Area family, thank you, thank you, thank you for holding on. And I can't thank you enough for all you people supporting us financially, because it does take money. Like they always say, money is the mother's milk of politics. Well, I tell you what, it's even probably more so for radio, because you have to have money for airtime. The number one cost in radio, like this thing is right here, like I have, is your airtime. We're syndicated nationally, internationally, anywhere you want to pick up radio by Liberty News Radio. And Sam has it, Sam Bushman, who owns Liberty News Radio. You know, we have people working for us like Jay Harrison, his family. There's a lot of people. You'd be surprised how many people working, keeping me. I'm the one speaking, but we have people like Jay and Miss Teenage America, Miss Lizzie, and Jeremiah, and like I say, and Sam. It's just there's a lot of people to keep this thing going. And some things are always breaking down, and Jay has to come in and straighten us out. You don't have to buy new equipment a whole lot, but I've recently had to buy some equipment, and it's not super expensive, but it's expensive. But anyway, I'd just like to thank all of our people for sending their donations in, because we couldn't do it. I absolutely couldn't do it, because I'm rhetorically speaking, I'm kind of poor as a church mouse. But anyway, as promised, we have... he's an attorney, Esquire, Jason Robb. And not only is that, he's one of my very best friends, one of the few people left in the world that I really trust. Because once you get beat as old as I have, if you've been in so many battles I've been in, it's so many people you thought you could really put your life on, and it's not that way. But so far, Jason has been true blue since he was born, but he has a great bloodline. His dad was that way. We also have Brother Paul Fromm that's still hanging on. I don't know how long he's going to stay on, but I knew he's always worked with the Robs. They're great friends. Paul is a great friend. He's one of the people you can trust, because he's been around for years and years and years. And anyway, since Paul has been on tonight, we'll bring in Jason Robb. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really good. I'm sitting here in the Ozarks. It's raining. I'm looking outside. I'm kind of feeling a little bit depressed. I don't see any National Guard troops around.
Oh man.
I don't live in Memphis, so you know I don't have the privilege of that. So we're just out here in the woods in the country, raining, and just kind of out in nature. But I guess I will get over that. But no, beyond that, just kind of joking aside, we're doing really good here. We're feeling good. A lot of great things happening here, and I really enjoyed the previous hour, Monica Schaefer and Paul Fromm. It's always a delight to listen to those two. And so anyway, I'm not saying nothing about you, Eddie, but it is always a privilege to be on the air with Paul Fromm.
Well, you know, from day one, I'll just chime in. From day one, like I've always told people, I ain't got no education, but I know people that do. And, you know, I know good people. And so when I first started, I wanted to surround myself with people that were good at what they're doing, good at speaking. You don't have to be an intellectual mind to be a success on Blood River Radio. You have to have good morals. You have to be on the same page with us as far as it's just one requirement we have. You have to acknowledge there is global white ethnic cleansing going on right now. And the end goal is global white extermination. The people that are working against us hate our guts. You have no idea just how much they have a satanic hatred for us, and they want us dead. If you're willing to work to that end, to fight against that, hey, you're Blood River Radio. But we have great people, and I've always said I like to get the best people I can get on and get them on, and I can get the hell out of their way and let them speak. And that's so far I've been fortunate. God's let me have good people on, like the two people I have on right now. But it's a never-ending battle. It really is. It can wear you down at times, but we just have to keep going. I know Jason told me, his dad said, people talk about. They get tired. They want to quit. And he shows a picture of a 2 or 3 year old boy, a 2 or 3 year old girl, and you'll say, "Is this kid, is this white child, is he worth fighting for, or are you just going to give up, let him die, let him be killed?" And so that's you have to have that mindset. And how I got off on that story, I'll never know, y'all.
Eddie, I'm glad you did get off on that story because you mentioned my friend of probably 20 years, Pastor Thomas Robb, and Jason, of course, is his son. And you're talking to the son of the first family of Christian white nationalism. The Robbs are just a fantastic family and have done a tremendous amount for our people on so many different fronts. I just wanted to toss that in.
You know,
I appreciate it, Paul. Just pipe in real quick. I want to kind of give you, I know we've kind of discussed this in the past. I want to just kind of give everyone an update. As you know, obviously Paul definitely knows, we here at the Christian Revival Center, which is headquarters, not only our church, but then also the Knights Party. But in January of 2016, or in 2016, I should say April of 2016, we had a groundbreaking ceremony and building this Christian Revival Research and Development Center. And Paul Fromm was there, Wills Cardo, who's deceased, and Dr. Ed Fields. They were our three main people there, speakers to breaking this building. And so kind of giving everyone an update, this building is a building that is going to have classrooms as far as students going into college age students. It's going to have a library, and one of the other parts of it is a museum, and we've been calling it the Janusium, and it's from a Greek god that could see the past but also see the future. And in that Janusium, we are building within it's a museum, but it's going to be housing artifacts of key players in the racial movement from the past, 80, 90, 100 years. And in that building, we have the museum that's almost completed with the sheetrock, the electricity, the lighting. We're getting that finished up here in the next week. And we're going to get painted, and then we're going to start installing the floor. And that it is looking really, really nice. But it's really has some great artifacts in there that we're housing. And so we always have people kind of want to know what's the update on that. And so that's kind of the update. It's really progressing really nicely. We had a reporter from the American Free Press back in August of this year that came out and did an article and a story on this building that is in construction. And again, the outside is all done. We're just working on the inside. And so we are gathering a lot of great artifacts. We have Rockwell's printing press when he printed This Time the World. We have We actually have a book, the book that he printed on that. We actually have that as well, and various other artifacts. I had to switch phones real quick, but we have other artifacts that we are housing in from different racial groups, identity groups, and so this is something that we've been working on for many, many years, and we even have the shovels that Paul Fromm, Ed Fields and Willis Cardo used to do the groundbreaking ceremony. So anyway, I just want to let and as well as the listeners, this update on this project that we've been working on for at least 10 years. But this has been a lifelong project for my dad since I can even remember him talking about it. I'm 51 years old. As long as I can remember this vision of his building this and housing different artifacts, because our heroes are being destroyed, as yes. We all know, yeah. this white genocide, and our white heroes are being destroyed, and those that have fought on before us to bring this message to our people, the enemy is trying to shove it down the memory hole. And so we're trying to do what we can to uplift these past heroes, to let people know that there's been men and women 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years in the past sounding this alarm and doing stuff in the past to awaken our people. So anyway, I just wanted to let everyone know about that, what's the status of that, and it's really a great thing what we're doing here.
I've got to visit that center very soon. I've got to. I'd like to comment on that as soon as we come back, and we'll get Paul in. Be right back, folks. This is great.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to make this quick because I don't want to interrupt with our precious guest. Jason was talking about this Janusium. Well, and I said, I was telling him about, I was running downtown. Everybody and his mama knows that I do a lot of running, and I was running what we call downtown Memphis about 10 days ago. I started to call Gene Andrews because he's a great Confederate history buff, but I was just telling the guys during the break, I passed a place, it's got a big plaque called the Fourth Bluff. It's a very beautiful little park right there on Front Street in Memphis. I remember not too long, many years ago, it was called Confederate Park. Beautiful little Confederate park, had these big cannons there that they used there in the Lincoln's War against the South. Immediately west down the steep, steep, steep slope on the edge of the where the Wolf River runs into the Mississippi River, we had Jefferson Davis Park. He was the president of the Confederacy. To the west of those two locations, about 2.5 miles, three, we had General Nathan Bedford Forest Park. We call it Forest Park. And Memphis was just, it just marinated in the old Southern culture, Confederate culture. If you were in Memphis, you knew your ancestry was from the South. Ancestry, most people had ancestors linked to the Confederacy. That's gone. And I was just telling Jason, Jason's 51. To me, that's young. If people Jason's age here in Memphis that come to Memphis, would never know any of that existed. Matter of fact, I was talking to a fellow. He was from Minnesota. And I'm sure I pissed him off. I told him about all this history. And I said, where are you from? He said he's from Minnesota. I said, well, you probably hate the Southerners too, but I don't give a shit if you hate us or not, because, you know, I'll hate you if you hate us. But our history is being destroyed. And so what Jason, his dad, is doing, you can't put a price tag on that. You absolutely cannot. Now I'm going to shut the hell up. And Paul, you want to chime in on that before you go? I know you said you couldn't stay very long. Would you like to make a comment, some comments on what me and Jason said?
Yeah, I just second what you said about the preservation of our history. The Confederate history is being just swept aside by traitors and foreigners like Nikki Haley, who was then governor of South Carolina. As soon as the Dillon Roof event occurred, she used that as an opportunity to get rid of the state flag, which incorporated the Confederate flag. So it remains to all of you to retain that history until you get rid of the official scalawags, the elected officials that tear them down. You've got to preserve them in your own way. And what Pastor Rob is doing is, of course, far more than just Confederate history. It's the history of white nationalism, and I've been very happy to be able to contribute a few pieces of memorabilia about some of the people I have known, including a very important man whom I knew reasonably well, John Ross Taylor, who for probably the last 20 years of his life could not mail or receive a piece of mail in Canada. He was banned from the post office. You know, you talk about totalitarian state, in his 70s, he was twice thrown in prison in those days, people would record political messages on a telephone answering machine and circulate business cards. So you call up the number and you get a political message. I don't know if they were the first to do it, but the John Birch Society, back in the 70s had, this Let Freedom Ring approach. They would, their local chapters would get a dedicated line, and you could phone it up and listen to a message that was on a telephone answering machine. Well, John Ross Taylor did the same thing in Canada a few years later, and he'd make commentaries on the news, quite often critical of immigration, sometimes critical of the Jewish lobby, and they were so outraged that they passed a law especially for him. And he was convicted twice under it for making telephone answering messages. You know, and you had to call up and listen to it. And it was not forced upon you. And he twice went to jail for that. Once when he was well into his 70s. So he's a man who really paid his dues. And I remember getting a call from John Taylor about 6 a.m. one Saturday morning. Oh, Paul, they're throwing me out. Could you come and get me? He was in the South Toronto Detention Center, in jail. He said, they're throwing me out. I said, but John, didn't they give you a year? Yeah. And so about 6 weeks in, he said, they're throwing me out. So I went around and picked him up. We never did figure out what happened. I don't know whether maybe some kindly prison official said, this is ridiculous. A 70-some-year-old man in here with, not the best of society. This is nonsense. And they just threw him out, released him. But that was one unusual story. And we never did find out how it was he got released. But I'm sure he was glad he did.
Go ahead, Jason. Oh, we know. We know. I'd like to respond to that, Paul. I certainly would. We were, as you well know, on the second hour, we were talking about how these mainstream journalists—I mean, big-time journalists, well known that I thought would be above the fray, would be almost untouchable. And they were having their houses ransacked. I mistakenly said that Norbert Bolz had been arrested, but and right. going back and rereading that article a little bit, he was not actually arrested, but they did ransack his house. They confiscated a lot of his equipment, just like they did Alfred Schaefer, who is Monica Schaefer's brother. But but anyway, before Jason's back, I'll finish this. But it's only going to get worse. What we're talking about this, their primary reason why they're so rough on us, so rough on free speech. I know I'm repeating myself from the last hour, and even from other shows. But what the problem is, they are so afraid. They, being the Jew that rules over us, they are so afraid and so desperate to keep the truth away from our young people. And Monica Schaefer coined this phrase, that if we can ever break the lie, if we can ever defeat that lie of the Holocaust, that is the linchpin lie that holds all other lies together. If we can break that lie, bust that lie, and get the truth to all the world, then that will hopefully set our people free. That's ultimately what they're afraid of. Not only that lie, but all the other lies. And never, ever, ever forget these people being the Jew of their father. They're the sons of their father, the devil. They will not rest until we're dead. And that's why they have this endless surveillance, this endless trampling of our rights to free speech. And I'll shut the hell up right now with that. I didn't mean to hog up so much time, but we temporarily lost Jason. But I don't know how much you missed, Jason, but go in and chime in. Plus, I want to ask comment about your dad in Chicago and Washington, D.C. like in a few minutes. But go ahead, Jason.
Well, I got disconnected. We had a little power surge here, and so I lost a few minutes, so I wasn't able to hear what you had to say. So I can't really comment, except I did hear what Paul was talking about, John Ross Taylor, and he's one of the ones that I remember very young listening to when he spoke up in Aryan Nations in Idaho, and I didn't know him obviously like Paul or my father or anyone else, but as a little kid I remember listening to John Ross Taylor, and he was known, I believe, like the happy patriot, the smiling patriot, because he loved what he did. He loved fighting for our people. He loved fighting for the Canadians. And he was happy about it. He was always cheerful. And that really impressed upon my memory growing up. And I always would reflect on John Ross Taylor. Even as I was getting older and things would happen, bad things would happen, I was reflecting on the stuff that he went through when he would go to jail, he went in prison, and the stuff that he had to face. But he always smiled. He was just happy. He loved doing the work for the Lord, and he loved working for his people. And so that is something I always try to instill upon my kids as well, is that, you know, we have been giving a beautiful thing to be a witness to our people, to be a messenger for our people. And when things look bad and things look around us look really bad in the world scene, there's a lot of positive things that's happening. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we can control what we can do in our lives today. And John Ross Taylor was one of these people I always reflect upon. And so that's something I think that we all need to remember. Sometimes we can get depressed. We can get down on what's happening around us, but realize that, you know, we still have an ability to be advocates and vocal advocates for our people, and sound this alarm to the next generation. And so that's what I want to add my two cents in as well.
Well, that's very well, and we need to remember that at all times. By the way, I know we're going to a quick break. We talked to Ed Fields about a week ago. He's supposed to be on the program, but I'll tell you why when we come back, why he couldn't come on. But he's another giant in the movement. Be right back, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening. listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Democrats in Virginia are working to disenfranchise the state's Republican voters by pushing for a redistricting plan that would give them a permanent supermajority in the state.
Last November, President Donald Trump received 46.6% of the votes. If this redistricting plan passes, it would mean Republicans would hold only 18% of the state House seats in a state where at least 40% of the voters are Republicans. In 2020, the overwhelming majority of Virginians voted for a constitutional amendment to codify nonpartisan redistricting. Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin calls the new redistricting proposal, quote, nuts. Youngkin added that Democrats are, quote, trying to run some desperate plan to redistrict Virginia. I think it's unconstitutional. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune says it's time to reopen the government.
Chuck Schumer doesn't do anything that doesn't have a political component to it. And honestly, I think that's what's driving this. If you think about it, there really isn't any other explanation. I think they're so scared of their hardcore base.
This past week, President Trump and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese signed a critical minerals deal at the White House Monday as the U.S. continent's rich rare earth resources at a time when China is imposing tougher rules on exporting its own critical minerals abroad. Economist Steve Moore with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity says there is a solution to the U.S. dependence on China for critical minerals.
We have far more of these minerals than China does. Why is it that today we're dependent on Beijing for our critical minerals, which are necessary for our manufacturing, our defense systems, our microchips? So the first thing we have to do, and this is something that our great Interior Secretary Doug Burgum wants to do, is not just drill, baby, drill, but mine, baby, mine.
Moore made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF. 800, the number 4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com for Think Factor.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower.
Power your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'll tell you what, I wish I could be part of what we talk about during the intermission between the breaks sometimes. It's just so spiritually uplifting. I don't know if Jason is allowed to tell you what he told me a minute ago about this event coming up sometime in May. Or do you want to say something about that, Jason, or is that kind of secret right now?
It's not secret. We have our Faith and Freedom Conference coming up on the last weekend of April, and it's I believe this April 24th, 25th, and 26th. I believe it's that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so we have our annual Faith and Freedom Conference. And next year, I'm looking at the calendar right now. April 24th, 25th, and 26th. But anyway, it's our Faith and Freedom Conference. And it was kind of going to make it really special coming up is it is my mom and dad's 60th wedding anniversary. And so we're going to have a great thing happening there. Can't go into too much details because Rachel and I are kind of dealing with that. And so we're going to have some great things going on there. But there's 60th wedding anniversary. And then it's my dad's actually 80th birthday, April 25th is when he will be turning 80 years old. And they'll have been married 60 years old on May 25th next year. So we're doing it all in that time period. So we're going to make it really a special event, special time. And what's kind of unique is not only is this his 60th wedding anniversary, but it's also he'll be it's his 60th year that he was ordained as a pastor. And so it's really going to be a great event, a great time. We're expecting a really huge turnout. A lot of people are going to be there. So we're really excited about that. And so we're next year is going to be a great year for a lot of folks and a lot of people. I know with you as well, Eddie. I'm just looking for, and 250th, anniversary of the independence of America. My gosh, 2026, I think it's going to be a fabulous year.
I didn't think about that, but you're absolutely right. 200th anniversary. Yeah. That is going to be totally amazing. God willing, if I'm not dead, there's no way I can get out of that. I have to be there. I would not want to miss that.
We definitely would like have you here and you're able to make it. But we're not going to go too much in details on the air because I don't know if my dad's going to be listening or not. But
oh, I get your drift. He's one of the few people I can call an old fart because he's about a year older than I am. But anyway,
exactly.
In fact, there's a fellow. This is one of my infamous rabbit trails. There's a fellow at Panera Bread, and I'm always calling him an old fart. I'll say, "Hey, you old fart." I say, "Oh, no, I can't call you an old fart because I'm 2 years older than you are." But he works there part time. His name is Craig. Delightful fellow, he certainly is. But you know what? I've got these stories I was going to cover, but I'm kind of in almost like a reminiscent mood. Before we go to the story I had pulled up, talking about your dad, how long your family has been in, that's kind of opened up a portal for me to go into. And I've always been fascinated. I hope I didn't cut you off, Jason, but some of the activities that your dad was involved in before you were really old enough. But I know I've always wanted to get your dad on to talk about before there was Charlottesville, there was Chicago, and there was Washington, D.C. And I know your dad left. I know he was there in Chicago, with the 60s or 70s. Hell of a riot there. The Klan was there. Whites, all kinds of Southern white nationalists were there. Same thing with Washington, D.C. I think when your dad and other groups, kind of like Charlottesville, they had a permit to march in Washington, D.C. there, and their permit was turned down. But your dad and his group said, "To hell with that. We don't, as Americans, something." I'm just kind of maybe paraphrasing what they said. As Americans, we have a right to go in here and to demonstrate peaceably, to assemble, and to air our grievances out. And they did that. I've always wanted to get them on to talk about that.
We'll definitely get him on here to talk about that. But yeah, the thing is that a lot of people, especially in the white nationalist movement, which is really just a huge umbrella, but it's one of these things that there are so many people that is waking up, and people have always been waking up, over the decades. And so a lot of times when people, become racially aware, they realize what's happening around them, and it's seeing this attack on white people, and they see it even more now than ever before. But when they start becoming racially aware and they start getting involved, they think that this is when the racial movement started. They think that started in 2025 or 2023 or when Charlottesville happened, or they think that's when the racial movement started. And they don't realize that the racial movement has been in existence all the way from the 1920s with Henry Ford and Gerald L. K. Smith, a lot of people are not aware of it, all the way back in the 20s. I mean, a lot of the racial movement started back in Dearborn, Michigan, back in the 20s. I mean, Detroit was a hotbed of white activism. A lot of people are not aware of that. And so there has been, for decades, there's been the white racial movement. And so when people have gotten involved, they know that, like I said, they just think that that's when it started. And so there's been people, organizations, that have been in existence for 30, 40, 50, 80 years that come and gone. And so it's one of those things that we always want to inspire people. We always for the next generation. And reminiscing is a really a good thing, because it's something to realize that there's been men and women over the years that have fought this fight, and my dad has been one of those people. Like I said, he's been involved for 60 years. Him and my mom, they got married when they were 19, 20 years old, and they met at an anti-communist teaching college. Kind of getting tongue twisted here, but a anti-communist college up in Colorado, and that's where they met, 19, 20 years old, and then they got married shortly thereafter, and he became a minister, and ever since, they've dedicated their lives, to this cause, and our family is involved in it. I'm involved in it, my sister's involved, our family, our children, so we know the cause, we know what has to be done to awaken our people. And we believe that is so, so important. And so it's one of those things that, especially with my dad and mom, that's something that they have built their life on trying to waken our people up to be involved, with activists and be advocate for our people. And so, we've had, rallies and demonstrations in Chicago and Washington, D.C. and throughout the states. In the Klan, we had 8 rallies at the exact same day at different capitals in protest of the Martin Luther King holiday. The sedition trials back in 1987, where the government went after several people in the white nationalist movement simply because they spoke against the government. And so there's a lot of things that has happened in the past that a lot of people, when they're becoming racially aware and get involved in the white activist movement, are not aware that these things have happened in the past. They just are ignorant on it, and not putting them down. They're just ignorant because they just don't know. And so it, you know, people like, you know, my dad and Ed Fields, which, you know, we had mentioned during the break, and Paul Fromm and John Ross Taylor, these are just some of the people that have been doing things for decades that a lot of new people that have gotten involved are just not aware of. And so it is good, like you said, Eddie, to reminisce about this, because we need to remember our heroes in the past, and we need to remember of things that have gone on. You know, you and I have talked about this show that you do. I've been doing it for a long time. It takes a lot of work, you know, and that is something that people, I don't think, realize either. So you're a big part of this as well.
Well, thank you so much. We'll come back. I got to talk about Dearborn. You brought up Dearborn, Michigan. Talk about that since we come back this break. Be last break of the last hour, folks. Be right back.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Oh, Blood River Radio family. You know, we're well known on Blood River Radio for being flexible, like Gumby Marine, I believe it is. Although I was in a Marine, I was drafted in the Army, but Gumby Marine, so to speak, he has to be flexible. You have to be able to. It's great to have a plan, and you try to stick by the plan as much as you can, theoretically, they say. But you have to be flexible. And if you have an idea during the moment of a plan, and if you see an opening, you can attack, so to speak, militaristically speaking. If you go with it. You go with it. General Patton said that a good plan today was better. He said a good plan today, violently executed, was better than a perfect plan 3 weeks down the road. So that's why we're doing this. I scrapped some of the articles we were going to read, but I think Jason really hit the nail on the head. Especially our younger people, need to know that there was life in the Patriot movement way yonder, even before I was born. In fact, I knew a man named Mr. Clark. He's passed away now. He'd be well up in his hundreds. And he told me back in the 1920s, if you weren't in the Klan, especially here in the Mid-South area, Houston, Mississippi, he said, if you weren't in the Klan, you could not get elected politically. But Jason said something that really was like a Roman candle to go off in a coal mine that stuck in my mind. He mentioned Dearborn, Michigan, There was, I'm going back memory, there was a Dearborn newspaper. It was big time Ford country in Dearborn, Michigan. And Henry Ford, what a man he was. He bought that newspaper, Jason. I know I'm preaching to the preacher. He bought the newspaper, and he ran a series of articles called "The International Jew." He said that the International Jew was the most I won't say the most dangerous. It was the most important, the most dangerous, whatever you want to say. It was the most most poignant threat. The biggest problem we have in the world was the International Jew. No one would know it more than Jew. And even Henry Ford was big-time buddies with, the Wizard of Menlo Park. Edison, Thomas Edison, probably the greatest, one of the greatest inventors in the whole world. And Thomas Edison said the same thing with Henry Ford. He said that the men that borrow the money, that take the spade, break the ground, pour the concrete, put in the rebar, build, you know, put in the machinery, do all the work, they'll make, maybe if they're lucky, about 10% profit. The International Jew will make much more than they do. Well, anyway, I'm getting this rabbit trail. I got to chase this rabbit to the ground. Dearborn, Michigan, like I say, was a stronghold for Ford Motor Company. And now, the irony to throw feces in our face, to throw feces in the Ford people, in Henry Ford. You cannot convince me it was not by plan. Dearborn, Michigan now is total, it's Islamic, a Muslim stronghold. They have a damn Muslim mayor there, Jason. You probably heard about that. Yeah. But, I mean, that just really upsets me. And we talked about it in the first hour. I got to hurry up and shut up. Me and Will Franklin, by the way, Will Franklin is going to be come up there before too much longer, getting some cabins, stay in the cabins and relax up that way. I'll try to get him to come up there with me when they had the Faith and Family conference there. But anyway, I think that was my plan. We talked about it in the first hour, but we cannot let that stand, Jason. We cannot allow. We have to do what it takes to keep these damn Muslims from taking over our country. And I hope I didn't go too far off of rabbit trail, Jason.
Well, you know, Eddie, you know, I think you're absolutely right. A lot of people are not aware that when Henry Ford had printed the International Jew, and that's why the Jewish supremacists, you know, they despise Henry Ford because he, you know, a lot of people are not aware of this, but when he printed the International Jew, he always put an edition of the International Jew in every Ford that came out of the assembly line. And so every time someone bought, you know, a Ford car, there was a International Jew book that was in it free. And so he was doing his own literature distribution in his vehicles that people were buying. Yeah. So he did that. And they hated him because him and Thomas Edison, but especially Henry Ford, were one of the main people that got all the Jews and the pornography out of New York City. That's why they all, in the 20s and 30s, all fled to Hollywood, California, and started Hollywood and all the film industries in California because they were all ran out of New York City. And Henry Ford was one of the biggest ones that did that because of the Jewish influence in the film industry, anti-American industry, and the pornography was all run by the Jews. And he ran them out of New York City. And so you're absolutely right. They despise Henry Ford, and so it's not, like you said, it's not coincidental that you have Dearborn, basically a Muslim city, because the Jews were the ones that started bringing the Muslims to Dearborn. I mean, it was intentionally planting of a settlement for the Muslims into Michigan. And where are they going to plant them at? Well, let's plant them in Dearborn, where it was a hotbed for white nationalism. It was a hotbed for the International Jew publication by Henry Ford. So they didn't forget, and so that's why Dearborn is where they're at now with the Muslim population, and so now the diversity is our strength slogan is no longer being regarded as being true anymore.
Yeah, you know, diversity is our strength until our enemies get control, and that need not apply You know, I know a lot of our people may or may not know this, but they these stinking Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan, and I can't repeat that enough. It was the epicenter of Ford Motor Company country. I mean, for the Dearborn newspaper we talked about. And listen, at least five times a day, starting, I've read, at 5 a.m., sometimes earlier, but never later than 5 a.m., they start blaring out the stinking call to prayer. You know, I mean, that's so beyond offensive. And like I said, on the first hour, we talked about that with Will Franklin. People, white men of America, we cannot let that stand. If that spreads, you know what, Jason, it's kind of scary. If that spreads, if sets a pattern, and if we can't stop these people from coming in our country, and people talk about, Trump's been getting rid of these Mexicans, getting rid of that, this many Mexicans, maybe not. But here's the thing. We talked about this on another broadcast not long ago. For some reason, these Indians, and Paul Fromm can tell you all about the Indians. They're in Canada, the United States, they're in Germany, they're every damn where, but they're just flooding in this country. They have a free pass to Indians, and maybe getting ready Hispanics. I don't know. I've heard they are, but I don't know. We still have millions up here in this country right here, in right here where I live. Right. Back to the right of me, they have. But they have, it's just like a free pass. They're untouchable. It's the same way for the damn Muslims, but we have to stop that. And I would encourage our people to go ahead, Jason.
No, just a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah, you know, they may be stopping the illegal immigration, but the legal immigration is just as horrible because it's all still coming from your non-white countries, and so you still have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of legal immigrants coming in, H-1B visa holders, which are work visas. And then the chain family migration that's allowed from legal immigrants and green holders. So the legal immigrants of non-whites are killing our country just as bad as the illegal immigration.
Probably more so.
Yeah.
You know, and I mentioned this. I can't mention this enough. I don't care if I do repeat myself, but it needs to be repeated. If you go to the VA hospital here in Memphis, the cardiology department is complete Indian territory. We talked about last week. We saw a Sikh, and it's supposed to, I didn't know this until last week. The Sikhs, they wear the turbans around their head. They're supposed to be the warring community. We had this damn Sikh doctor going, marching up and down the halls of Veterans Hospital here in Memphis like he's God Almighty. And I also said this, I'll say this one more time. We said, the first hour. I talked to a very wealthy lady over in the area where I exercised. I won't say where or who, but her brother is a nephrologist, a real smart guy. And he is the only nephrologist left in the Baptist health system, the rest of them are these damn Indians and Muslims. And that, which leads me to another point, Jason, the book you read, wrote, Dark Medicine. It's a pattern. If we don't stop it, being white men of America, if you're white, I don't care how smart you are, you need not apply for medical school or law school, but especially medical school, because they said that it's racist, and they're going to get the powers that be, the people that are in charge of medicine in the United States medical schools. They're saying you need not apply. If you're white, you can forget it. We're going to get rid of you, you white people. They're saying it. We have that booklet here, Dark Medicine. Anybody would like to get one, I would be glad to send it to you for a donation. Just send me a note, Eddie at bloodriverradio.com. But anyway, back to you, Jason.
So, yeah, I mean, that is something that, you know, every listener here, you know, they need to realize that. We can't get complacent during these times. You know, we see a lot of good things that's happening in the Trump administration that we like, but we can't get complacent. It always comes back to the numbers game, you know, and as America continues to become more and more non-white, because it is, even though everything, you know, everything seems to be good, or this facade of everything's going really well under the Trump administration. Again, there's lots of good things going on, but it's still a numbers game. And as America continues to become more and more non-white, you're going to see more of an attack upon our culture and our heritage.
That's very well spoken. I'd like to thank you so much for coming on, Jason. We have run completely out of time. Thank you so much, son, for coming on. I'll be getting back to you soon. And I can't be more happier that you came on.